Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Michael DelGiorno Show. Super Talk 99.7.
Brother Ken, you missed a top news story. I hate to embarrass you live on the air.
Oh, you do not hate it at all.
This just in. Radio personality and talk shows from WTN in Nashville rolled Jorge of Seoul, South Korea for $1 million at Bowling King.
Way to go.
All during that newscast.
Wait a minute. Jorge from South Korea?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's one of my rare non-Islamist opponents.
So there's, okay.
Oh, I can't tell you how many Hamad, Saeeds, Al-Akhar. Telling you. The only reason why there's not more jihadist terrorist attacks, they're all busy playing Bowling King. It has actually crossed my mind. I beat a guy, Muhammad, the other day.
Yeah.
I took him for like, oh my gosh. Well, he just kept rematching and rematching and rematching. And I think I took all $6 million of his dollars. And then I thought, oh, he doesn't get mad and like take it out on somebody wherever he lives. Yeah, because they look like they have anger issues to me, some of them. But yes, while you were busy doing the news, I was rolling Jorge in Seoul, South Korea. Now, Jorge was from Brazil, just
okay.
So you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were playing in Seoul, South Korea. I rolled him for $1 million.
You're sharking him, Brother Michael.
Before we do our airline update, this just in, nearly a month after Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner jointly filed for divorce, and 3 years after they announced they were separating, ladies and gentlemen, Ben Affleck has finally moved out of the house. And all I could think of, just goes to show you, you know, how commercials impact me. All I could think of was Cordell and Cordell. Who's the one on our station? Don't leave your home. Barry Sanders says, don't leave your home.
That's Cordell and Cordell.
It is Cordell and Cordell.
Except he says Cordell and Cordell.
You know, it looked like for a while they were going to work that out, but I don't think it's going to happen. American Idol is coming back. Why? Is there anybody really interested?
Don't we have enough?
I mean,
singing shows.
Do you know how many? Ask me how many episodes. Nobody had more fun with the show Nashville. So much so, I risked my salvation. Remember the email earlier in the week where I was going to go to hell because I watched that show? And even I was done with it. I didn't go to, what is it on now? CMT? Or CMT? Yeah, I haven't gone. I couldn't do it. I did, out of respect, go to Raina's funeral, but that's it. I have no desire to watch. I mean, American Idol is so 15 years ago, isn't it? 10 years ago?
Something like
I
that.
I stopped watching after 4-5 seasons.
It's just kind of done. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know what? I'm thoroughly convinced. It's like America's Got Talent. No, America doesn't anymore. We found it all. It's time to move on. Let's do a reality show at the airport. That's where all the action is. Today on Fly the Friendly Skies, Jorge gets drug off a South Korean flight by his nostril hairs. American Idol is coming back to ABC. Who's the executive at ABC that deserves to get thumped in the head?
Ryan Seacrest is at ABC.
Well, I know, but you know what? Their ABC has not yet named its host or judges. I mean, that was the other thing. You know, it kind of wasn't the same after Simon.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like
Simon Cowell.
And Simon's so rich, I don't even know if he wants to do any more. You know,
he's done.
Is there any hope for bringing this show back? One thing we know about this show is it has never existed without Ryan Seacrest, and he is now there at ABC, technically working with Kelly Ripa. So not interested in that. Meanwhile, 8 are left on season 12 of The Voice. Do you know I've never seen an episode of The Voice?
Me either.
Neither have I.
Think I'm missing anything?
Nope.
Nope.
I've never seen an episode of Dance Moms, although I have a daughter and a wife who used to watch it.
Yeah.
One of the moms, Abby Lee Miller, has been sentenced to a year and a day in prison.
I've been meaning to run that this morning and keep forgetting.
Yeah, bankruptcy fraud. Apparently, she brought $120,000 worth of Australian currency into the country and didn't report it. Now, the good news for her is if she could somehow get sentenced at Cook County Jail, inmates are now allowed to order hot pizza delivered right to their cell.
Well.
You know, I do not like stories that point to people in jail having a more peaceful, better existence than I'm living. Look what I've gone through to sell my home, purchase this new home, make this move. Nobody's grateful.
No.
Oh, what a day I had in parenting. My son wanted to take over. Now, I'll admit to you, in this new house, there are some extraordinary bedrooms. Everybody has like a master bedroom except for Nick. So talk about a first world problem. Nick is outraged. He has to walk 2 feet outside his door to go to a bathroom that only he will use. So then he wanted to take over the game room and make it an apartment. And then we finally talked him into making his room into an apartment. One of the things he demanded was his own refrigerator. So I went and I got him like the really, it's actually technically a wine refrigerator.
Yeah.
But a digital one. So it looks like a hotel.
And a glass door.
I'm going to set him up. Cost a lot of money, right? He's not grateful. Then he's got to graduate. He can't look like a slob at graduation. And naturally, my little schnookums is cute as a button. So we love to dress him.
Yeah.
I haven't had this much fun dressing somebody since my Emmett Kelly doll. So Andrea picked him out a really nice shirt, and he's going to have like a bright green bow tie, and then he's got matching green slacks that go with it. Oh, he's going to look adorable. He made a face over that. We got him a bank. He started crying. Why do I need a bank? I'm making money. I'm going to make money and put my bank. He didn't like any of his presents. So then we negotiate dinner. And then we negotiate going. Are you ready for this? Now, I can't tell you how much money I've spent. And promised him a Western Conference final playoff game. That could cost me a grand. Crying. Nobody loved me. Nobody cares about my birthday. Are you telling this? He literally said this. Are you telling me that that stupid house that I hate, that stupid house is more important than my birthday? This is what he's screaming, right? Finally settled him down. Do you know what made him happy? We took him to the Kenner Bowling Alley. Remember the line in Arthur? One would have to go to a bowling alley to meet someone of your stature.
Yeah.
And then we play these stupid arcade games to which he cashes in for pieces of plastic junk. He's got a plastic sword. He's got this little junk piece of plastic. He couldn't even tell me what it was. This little puppet. All I wanted him to do was buy the... There was a Predator bowling... A Tennessee Titan bowling pin. What a cool thing.
Yeah.
He comes away with all this junk. All of a sudden, he's happy. And I'm thinking to myself, $800 later, this is what made you happy? Do you know how much plastic crap I could have bought you? I'm trying to make you a bachelor pad, you know, kind of chicks are going to dig.
He's got his own refrigerator.
You're not mature enough for the bachelor pad. I'm getting ready to make you, pal. But you're going to look cute as a button, schnookums, in that green bow tie. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to dress him.
I looked up the Emmett Kelly doll.
Oh, isn't that a great doll? And I said, "Hi, that was my Emmett Kelly voice." I don't know why I did that. Emmett's still around.
Yep.
But yeah, life at Cook County Jail just got a little bit more like a college dorm. I mean, first of all, the rooms don't look like jail cells. They're really nice rooms. I mean, it's all I really want. Got a TV, a bed, a toilet. Now they're delivering pizza. What more does a man want? You know, sometimes I think I should have broken into this country rather than been born here. I'm paying for everything. People that break in, nothing happens to them, and they get everything for free. Now I'm looking at jail, and I'm going, peace and quiet. They got pizza being delivered. Can you imagine that? That was my childhood.
Yeah.
Sitting in my room, watching football, ordering Wayne's pizza. I'd run down the stairs, pay the guy, and go right back up to my room and start eating my pizza. That's jail now. And do you know what they're asking for now in jail?
What's that?
Their own sex dolls to relieve their stress. I mean, yeah, you can't make this stuff up. So if the dance mom is lucky, she'll serve at Cook County Jail where she'll peace and quiet, have a nice room, and fresh pizza delivered. Tonight, as I mentioned, there is nothing on television but hockey. In fact, I think all the other channels should just be in a constant, you know, EAS test. They're worthless. You got Pittsburgh and Washington, Game 7. The winner takes on Ottawa. And then the Oilers and the Ducks at 9. The winner takes on the Nashville Predators. Why would you watch Chicago PD? Why would you watch you want Designated Survivor? Watch NBC Sports in the National Hockey League. All right, as you know, I've created a new theme song because we can't go a day without airline stories.
Yeah.
And so rather than have it take over my show, we introduce you to our brand new segment called Fly the Friendly Skies.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
A Bay Area flyer named Naveng Oza who was traveling from Louis Armstrong, that used to be Moisant Airport, Louis Armstrong, New Orleans International Airport to San Francisco, says United Airlines ticket agent canceled his flight after he began to film an altercation that they were having. Well, you know, that's the problem now. Everybody is suddenly a Fellini. Oza said the agent was attempting to charge him $300 for his bag, which exceeded the 50-pound limit. Oh, I've been there. Do you know, I happened to be in Indianapolis, and I needed to purchase a flight home. Do you know my golf clubs and my one bag, because it was overweight, was more than the ticket to fly home? And the guy was like, well, you know, you can go over to the gifts area and buy a new suitcase and then transfer half of it, and you can avoid that $287 charge. But it's still going to be $300 for your golf club. I'm like, are you kidding me? What are my golf clubs in first class having a steak? Complimentary beverages? What the freak's going on up there? Oh, I never flew that. U.S. Air. Never flew that airline again. Did I say U.S. Air? So anyway, I've been there. I know what Oza's going through. So they wanted to charge him $300 for his bags because they exceeded the 50-pound limit. Oza contends that the same bag holding the same contents only cost him $125 on the flight out. I mean, that's a legitimate gripe, right? Wait a minute. Same airline, same flight, $125 coming, and now it's $300 going back. And it weighs the same. Well, that caused a disagreement, and then, you know, he starts filming. They threw him out. Now, what do you think looks worse? I just shared with you for a full hour how James Comey had the Czarnia brothers and let them go. Death, loss of limb, injuries, the Boston Marathon attack. He had Ahmed Khan Rahmani. His father called him and said, my son's been radicalized. He's going to carry out a terrorist attack. Didn't do anything. He carried out his bombing in New York City. People dead. He had Nidal Hassan. He had the letters Nidal Hassan was saying about killing his fellow soldiers. Did nothing. 31 Americans died at Fort Hood. He had Omar Mateen, the nightclub attacker in Orlando. 10-month investigation. Did nothing. 49 people died. I mean, every gay should be celebrating Comey's firing. Not only did he have Elton Simpson and Nadir Sufi that tried to carry out the Garland, Texas attack. He had embedded FBI agents undercover, did nothing to stop it. I mean, I can give you a million reasons why this guy got fired. I mean, I know we're the divided states of America, and I know there's crazy narratives going on, and I think Mitch McConnell did a good job of showing the Democrats for what they are. In fact, in the 9 o'clock hour, I played the montage. You got Nancy Pelosi calling for his head on a silver platter. Harry Reid saying he should resign, he should leave in shame. It's a new J. Edgar Hoover. Chuckie Schumer crying, whining, John Podesta crying, whining. Now they're all outraged. I mean, they've been revealed for what they are. Shills. I mean, I can get Comey getting fired. I don't get this airline stuff. But I can tell you, you got to stop them filming everything. That's a good start if you're the airline, you know. And so because apparently he started filming, they didn't let him fly and throw him off. Then you have the woman. This is a terrible story. And yet another horror story about the state of commercial aviation. A nurse from Kansas City says she was forced to pee into a cup in her seat because she wasn't allowed to use the plane's lavatory. Nicole Harper posted her account early Saturday on Facebook. She became frustrated at her inability to get anyone at United Airlines to acknowledge her complaint. United refuses to take my call. Now I can't sleep. I just keep thinking about how wrong this was. She encouraged her Facebook friends to share the story, trying to get viral. Her experience happened the same day that 69-year-old David Dow was injured while being forced off a United Airlines flight. Now she's wanting to know where her fame is. Harper said flight attendants would not allow her to get out of her seat and use the bathroom until the captain turned off the seatbelt sign. After explaining that I have an overactive bladder and would either need to use the restroom or pee in a cup, I was handed a cup by the flight attendant. You would think that peeing in a cup on an airline in front of family and strangers would be the worst part of the story, but the way I was treated by the flight attendants afterwards was even worse. She said the attendants shamed her by saying they would be filing a report, that she would have to speak to the pilot after landing. She said they also told her they would have to call hazmat now to clean the entire row of seats where she used the cup. Well, why'd they give her the option? By the way, it's not easy aim when you're a lady. As an emergency room nurse, I completely understand having a bad day on the job and having to deal with undesirable body fluids. What I don't understand is zero customer service. If I treated a patient this poorly, there'd be severe consequences. So this guy, triple charged for his bags, starts filming. They don't let him fly. This poor lady's got to pee in a cup. Don't forget the rabbit. They accidentally put it in a freezer and killed it. Then when they wanted the body back for an autopsy because they couldn't get a straight answer, they cremated the rabbit. I mean, I can go on and on with these stories, right? But no matter what the story is, we could always say this, right? Well, at least there's Southwest Airlines. A video has surfaced of a fist fight between two men aboard a Southwest Airlines flight on Sunday as the aircraft was taxiing to a terminal at Hollywood Burbank Airport for a layover. In the video, which was posted to Twitter, the two men can be seen grabbing one another on the plane, with one man repeatedly throwing punches at the other. A woman could be heard yelling, because there's always one of those, "What's wrong with you? Get off!" The video ends just as the other passenger pulls off the two men and pulls them apart. According to Sergeant Derek Green with the Burbank Police Department, one man was arrested as a result of the incident. Officers booked Chaz Cable, a 37-year-old Lancaster man, on suspicion of misdemeanor battery. According to a statement from Southwest Airlines, Flight 2530 had come in from Dallas, Texas, in the middle of a trip to Oakland when it landed in Burbank for a layover. The airline said three people were involved in the fight rather than two. "We're grateful to our employees who quickly reacted to break up the fight," although people say it was customers. "One customer had minor injuries, but was able to travel aboard. We have no other reports of injuries. It's unknown who the other two people involved in the fight were and who started it. Cable is currently being held in lieu of $50,000 bond." And that's your Fly the Friendly Skies update for this May 10th, 2017. Information-fueled, opinion-driven, that's Super Talk, and I am your Super Talker. They call me Michael. This is my attempt at hoping somebody's passing through Nashville, and by coincidence, it's the first time they've ever turned on the station, and they think I really talk like this.
Listen here, honey, this guy's swell.
Ah, you trip my lights fantastic. You're a swell fella. 22 before noon, 81 on our way to a high of 86. I want to be the first to gripe about it's too hot.
Okay, go ahead.
Give me that T-shirt. You know, memes are a funny thing. Because most of them are really kind of, you know, a stretch or real obvious or just stupid. But then some of them are just so profound. I spent an hour proving this early in the 9 o'clock hour, and here's a meme that does it in one glance. There's Chucky Schumer scrunching his face. "President Obama should fire FBI Director Comey. He can't be trusted." And now here he is today after he's fired. "I can't believe Trump fired Comey. He can't be trusted." And in 2 seconds, they show you the ridiculous, and I mean ridiculous, shameless political narratives over truth and real leadership. What no one is talking about, and what they should be outraged, and I could say this for gays, I could say this for any American. We had the Boston Marathon killers. The Boston Marathon attack didn't have to happen. That was an FBI mistake. They even avoided a second warning from Russia. We had Nadal Hassan, and we knew he was going to kill his fellow soldiers at Fort Hood, and we did nothing, and he killed 31 American members of our military, injured many more. Every homosexual should be celebrating the firing of Comey. The FBI had Omar Mateen, 10-month investigation, and didn't do a thing, and he went on to kill 49 at the Pulse nightclub. In Garland, Texas, where two terrorists sought to kill Americans attending a Draw Muhammad event, they had Elton Simpson. They had Nadar Sufi. They even had undercover agents traveling with these radical Islamists. Did nothing. Unthinkable. The New York bombing in 2016, the FBI was notified by the father. My son's been radicalized by Islam. He's going to carry out an attack. The FBI cleared him, did nothing. San Bernardino and everybody at that Christmas party. Under investigation. Then they made the whole thing over the phones. Created this big debate in America over whether or not people like Apple should be giving them backdoor access when they obviously didn't need it. Eventually, they got on the phone anyway. I mean, there are like 10 major scandalous reasons. And quite frankly, the least of which was the handling of Hillary Clinton. You know, the average person gets fired that I don't know, and you say, well, I don't know. I didn't work there. I'm sure he has his story. I'm sure management has their story. God doesn't sleep. This will work out for everybody. But how could I possibly know? In the case of Comey, we know. The only thing I can't answer is why it took so long or why they did it while he was out of town. I don't know. But I can think of a lot of reasons. And there's nothing more revealing than the left and their narratives. I played the montage earlier. You got John Podesta, who ran Hillary's campaign, talking of his incompetence. Chuckie Schumer saying a double standard, a mistake, untrustworthy. You got Nancy Pelosi talking about how he can't be trusted. Harry Reid saying he's disappointed. He should resign. All the left has been calling for his head in a silver platter. Now they get it, and it's a political outrage. It's the power of these narratives, these shills over the truth. I hope America's seeing through it, but I don't know. People aren't this shameless unless you're that dupable. But it's nonsense. It's absolute narrative nonsense. When I heard he fired Comey, I had two thoughts. One was an American thought. It's about time. Bound to be somebody better. I'm thinking of Boston. I'm thinking of San Bernardino. I'm thinking of Orlando. I'm thinking of the Hillary handling. I'm thinking of all of this stuff, the Dal Hassan. I think it was about time. And then my next thought was, wow. Now what will the left say? Because at the end of the day, and this is the most memorable thing I can say to you today, if there's any one action that should have pleased impossibly everybody in this divided country, it should be this. The right and the left. This should be like the only thing you could do that everybody would agree on. And the Democrats are, you know, but there are people that only watch CNBC, MSNBC, biased particular news organizations. They may be unaware that they had the Tsarnaev brothers. They may be unaware that they knew Nadal Hassan was going to act. They may be unaware about Ahmed Khan Rahmani and the bombing and the warnings from his father in New York, or Omar Mateen and the Orlando nightclub. And I guess if they never told you that in the first place, you don't know why he got fired. And then they tell you, well, it's like the Nixon Saturday Night Massacre. No, Nixon never fired the FBI director. Nixon fired people that were literally investigating him. Again, we're just looking in a mirror. And it has very little to do with the FBI, very little to do with James Comey, and everything to do with how ignorantly partisan we all are. You know, as we often say, we don't need any more Republican congressmen, Democrat congressmen. We need American congressmen. It's a great line. But we need Americans to be that way, too. Everything's about a political narrative. I don't have time for it. There is a great story, and, you know, I can't win for losing for doing it. I will say this to everybody that is listening. All have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. Now, there is a difference between missing the mark and sinning, feeling conviction, confessing the sin, pleading the blood of Christ, and then repenting and turning and going another direction. I mean, Jesus said time and time again, as forgiving as he was, not tolerant and not validating, forgiving. He always ended with, now go and sin no more. Now, the differences in culture, we have different values for sins. Frankly, just like everybody's fart stinks but ours, everybody's sin stinks but ours. And I know that the wages of sin are death, and death is death. There's not a whole lot of discussion. I mean, how you died is a curiosity, but the fact that all three are dead is the only thing that's relevant. So if my sin is lust, or my sin is pornography addiction, or my sin is fornication before marriage, or my sin is adultery and cheating on my wife, and their sin is homosexuality, or their sin is they're digging their grave with their teeth and eating themselves to death in gluttony, or theirs is sloth and laziness, or theirs is envy. Sin is sin, and it's destructive. It's death. And it can potentially separate you from God for eternity. That's serious business. Now, that's me saying that. That's not me judging that. Christ himself and God-breathed scripture judges that. I don't have to. So I shouldn't have to do a disclaimer for my audience that I actually believe homosexuality is a sin. And, may I add, the Bible makes a distinction between sins of commission, sins of omission, and then debauchery. And what is debauchery? Debauchery is a pride in your sin. You're not only not sorry, you're not only trying to do better and failing, you're actually proud of it. That's a whole other level of danger. So I don't turn an easy blind eye to homosexuality or abortion or other things that are out there that impact many. And all of the unintended consequences that go with them. But I do think, that aside, there's an interesting story about Shepard Smith and a speech he made at his alma mater, the University of Mississippi. And he viewed himself as not somebody that finally came out. He was never in. The Holly Springs, Mississippi native said that for his college years and the first two decades of his career, he didn't hide his sexuality so much as he just steered clear of the issue entirely. He poured himself into his work because he was unprepared to deal with all the consequences. What does that mean? Well, A, you're going to hear you're going to go to hell, listing the reasons he avoided the subject. B, you'll never have any friends again. C, what are you going to tell your family? And by the way, you're on television on the craziest conservative network on earth. That'll probably put you in front of a brick wall. Of course, none of that was true, but that's how I felt. And then he talks about being honest with himself. I don't have time to do the whole story, and I can't win for losing doing it. I will tell you that in the end, as you read this, you do see some of the societal effects that still exist. You do see some of the inner struggles of people. Because society, Paul talks in Romans 12:1, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the world can give you all of it, but deep in your soul, you were made by a creator, and you're never really right until you get right with that creator. And I can tell you, that's very difficult for me to do when I have my eyes on me, or my eyes on my wife, or my eyes on my kids, or my eyes on my next house, or my eyes on things that aren't of God, potentially. And so his spirit will convict me. It's in line with his teachings and his word. And I'm left to either choose myself or God. And whether I'm kicking or screaming or volitionally obedient, I'm coming to the cross. And that's just how my life works, day in and day out. And I don't know how to describe it, but you can smoke for 40 years and never feel any conviction. Oh, you can worry about what people are going to think about you, but never any real conviction. Then one day you start feeling conviction. And so you have to act on it. In this particular sin, there is a desire for people to have you join their mission, join their agenda. And I thought there was something very interesting in this, and I can't get into all the details, but Shepard Smith wasn't interested in that. And what it tells me is, you'll call it his sin, but his sexuality doesn't define him. And there's a resentment from the gay community that he hasn't joined all of their mission. There's something tragic in that, too. In other words, for certain militant gay people, it's not enough for Shepard Smith to be gay and a household name. He's got to join their mission. He's got to join their agenda, or there's something wrong with him. How would you like to be Shepard Smith? He knows deep down his family thinks it's wrong. Other gays think it's wrong. And then he has a hilarious account. You know, it's Saturday. I don't care about brunch. I respect you and your brunch. Go to brunch. Enjoy your brunch. And drag queens being there, oh, that'll be great. I'm going to be at Ole Miss. And I'm going to be watching ESPN the rest of the day. And then he says this sad line. It's harder when you like boys to find other people to roll like this until you put them on a private jet and bring them here. So, I mean, it's a constant, it's a cultural reflection. Certainly he's aware of what the Bible says and what Christians believe. And by the way, and I mean this, this is full circle, and I hope you're hearing this more than anything else. And he lives with that as much as we live with our secrets. The difference is, why is it his struggle and not yours? Why aren't you worried about what everybody would know you're doing in private, like he had to worry about? I'm not justifying his sin, and I'm not giving him anything more than the grace God tells me to give. I just thought, out of all the stories today, Comey getting fired? About time. And if you're unaware of all the things he screwed up, that come right back to just what the president said, it's time to restore the public's trust and confidence. And if you didn't have your trust and confidence shaken by this guy, man, you might want to look at who you've been watching and what you've been listening to on the radio, because we covered it all. But this story, I could have talked for 3 hours about it. I mean, how would you like to be a gay man, a household name, on Fox? And then him explaining his secret. And then knowing that Christians will be screaming at the radio, are you justifying homosexuality? And are you doing it because he's on Fox? No. Sin is sin. Why aren't you afraid people are going to find out your sins and it's going to ruin your career, your life? And then I just loved and found it refreshing. It doesn't define everything that he is. Then I found it tragic. Even the militant gays feel like he's betraying them because he's not joining in their agenda. Can't the guy just be what he is and a news guy? I thought it was far more interesting than everything else in the news, but that's par for the course for me lately. I either need to get this move behind me and have a vacation, or let me tell you something. We're talking about some really stupid stuff in news cycles lately. But I step aside and I get, by the way, Jay Ferguson, 70 years old today. Down on Thunder Island. Dave Mason, been away, haven't seen you in a while. 71. Bono, 57. Mark David Chapman, 62. Why do we put assassinators on that list? And my father, 79 today. And today on the Dan Mandis Show.
What really led to James Comey's termination, at least according to the left, a North Korea update and a safe space update. You've got to hear to believe. It's all coming up next.
And I will see you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.